Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome to the first edition of TechPoint Africa podcast in 2021. Welcome guys. My name is Muiwa.
My name is Oluwanifemi.
I'm Emmanuel.
How are you guys doing? It's been quite a year.
Hasn't it? Yeah.
So many things have happened.
Just 21 days.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's good to be back. I know some of our listeners probably missed us. We missed you too. Those ones that didn't miss us, it's been an interesting year so far. So much has happened. Well, first of all, do you guys have your name?
I don't.
Do you have your national ID?
I used to have.
You don't? How about Nifemi? You used to have. What does that mean?
Yeah. I registered sometimes in 2014. I had the slip. Then I changed it to a card. Then my card got missing. Then I can't find my slip again. Then I can't retrieve with the 346 hash. I guess. So I don't have a NIN because it's telling me that there's no NIN attached to my phone number. I'm just surprised.
So there are tens of millions of people like me, Femi. Yeah, there's a deadline. February 4, if I'm not mistaken. Or is it the beginning of February? And there's COVID outside. So it's not clear. People are confused. Like, what does the government want? What's the priority? To save people's lives or to get people to register? I mean, of course, yes, like since last year, February, that's when they actually announced. Most people didn't pay attention. They announced the deadline for December. And then it seems like it was just like a last minute thing. Like they forgot about it. Maybe because just after that is when the lockdown started and pandemic.
On a second thought, I don't know if directive that was given in February 2020. Because one thing that I noticed that changed was that in that directive given, you are not allowed to have more than 3 SIMs. And that is what the registration was centered around. Apart from the fact that they want to do a centralized database. It said you must not have more than 3 SIMs. Mm-hmm. But now you are allowed to register up to 7 SIM cards.
Via the app.
Mobile number, via the app. So I'm thinking that the one that just suddenly came up around December was maybe an afterthought, because there was nothing that was, at least maybe in the middle of the year, you'd have mentioned something about it, or the first quarter or the second quarter. Mm-hmm. It was radio silence and it just came up suddenly. And I don't think they were even referring to the initial rule that was given. So I think this is just like out of the blues. Just register, link your phone numbers with NIN, and if you can't do it, your SIM got
well, we'll,
get.
We'll be watching it closely to see what goes on.
Right,
and watching it closely. Let's get on to the stuff for today. Today is going to be a very long episode. I mean, it's been weeks, so we have so much to update you about.
Right.
Okay, so let's start with the one that everybody is crying about, and people are migrating from one platform to another. WhatsApp. So WhatsApp, like in the beginning of the year, like greeting us happy new year, saying you either accept that we spy on you or get out of our platform. That's what it looks like. That's how it was received. Is that what happened really? Anything?
Yeah, okay. So they've given this notification since December, right? They just said we are giving an upgrade to our policy, and if you do not accept, we have to chase you out of WhatsApp by February 8th, right? Okay, so that is the vibe that most people got. Like, oh, they are bringing Facebook stuff into WhatsApp. Everybody gets scared. Everybody run for your life. But
sharing data with Facebook, like sharing all your private data with Facebook.
With Facebook, yes. So the thing is, I think since 2016, WhatsApp, Instagram, Facebook Messenger and Facebook have all been integrated into one, let's say, system or infrastructure. As WhatsApp, as Facebook family apps. So this is just like a notification that there can be sharing of information between all these Facebook family,
which is already happening,
right?
So it was just full disclosure.
Full disclosure, right? So I think a misconception that probably happened was people got the vibe that, like Muyiwa said, that they will be sharing messages or media that you share with your friends or you share on groups. But that's not it.
Of which Facebook cannot read your messages because they are
end-to-end encrypted.
So only your phone can read the message. The message was sent can read it.
Mm-hmm. But the information they can share is...
There may be a backdoor that Facebook may have put that we're not aware of.
Right.
Because don't be surprised if you are chatting about shoes with someone, then you go on Facebook and
you see shoes.
It's very same shoe.
Right.
But I think the bigger picture here is...
What are they sharing?
People are migrating from there to Telegram and Signal. The fact is Telegram is not as private as people think. It's also not private.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it doesn't collect as much data as WhatsApp but it's not. Signal, okay, maybe Signal is... Maybe we can trust it because one of the major, like the early investor is Brian.
From WhatsApp.
Acting, who was the co-founder of WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
And when WhatsApp was acquired by Facebook, he and his co-founder, Jan, joined and asked Mark Zuckerberg to promise them that he will not put ads.
That they will not use it for
ads. Then there were clashes of philosophy. And so they left. And when he left, he cashed out his money that he got from his Facebook stock and then used it to invest in Signal. And started Signal. So yeah, maybe we can trust that it's a bit private. But the question now is, where are the people you want to chat with?
Exactly.
If you have a business, you build a contact list there.
Mm-hmm. Like
family members.
Will they follow you to wherever
your grandmother
it is you're
just
going
already used to.
To
WhatsApp. Exactly. And then another question is it really a big deal that Facebook is revealing that WhatsApp is sharing those the data? Because we all use Google, we all use many other apps that collect just as much, if not more data.
Exactly. In fact, some of those apps, they just link to your Google. Just when you log in with your Google account, they have everything. Yes. So I think it's because of the noise that was made about it that got people triggered. Or the fact that some people don't actually know how much they are sharing with Google. Okay. And the thing is, the shocker is, this thing we are talking about with WhatsApp and Facebook, there are other apps that actually take a lot more data than they do. And those are the health apps, talk about fitness apps, period tracker apps, ovulation tracker apps. They actually take a lot of data than a normal app does. And we gladly give them because they are the caveat that they need it to predict. They will ask you the last time you had your period, or last time you had sex, and stuff like that. And you will gladly give it to them because they will say that they need it for
very
prediction.
Private info.
Yes, very, very private info. And there has been cases in the past where this period tracker apps, for instance, that it was alleged that they shared private data with Facebook and Instagram. And they can't even defend themselves. There was even one with Strava, that running app that runners and cyclists use. That there was a time that the heat maps that uses GPS information to track people's activity.
To check where you move around to.
It has been leaked and it is showing secret military bases around the world.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they had to change the... Yes. So these people, they can't really, really assure you of the data they are sharing. So it's a matter of you just asking yourself, when you see those kind of questions and they're asking you for consent, just ask, can I let an outside person into this private part of my life? So if you cannot answer that question,
I think the actually more important question is, there's a saying that goes, if you are not paying for it, you are the product.
Mm. Right.
So whether it's Facebook, WhatsApp, any of those apps, don't be surprised if the period tracker can can then predict when your next period is and then start showing you ads about sanitary pads. Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
But the bigger question is, if you really want privacy, don't be on the internet, because that is how the internet is built inherently. Mm-hmm. Tim Berners-Lee, the founder of the World Wide Web, last year or 2 years ago when he came to Nigeria, he shared his thoughts about how he feels we need a new web, because the current web is just not working for us.
That's been compromised.
It incentivizes, not compromise, like the way it has been built, because you're all about growth and growth, it incentivizes, what's it called now? Things like clickbait, mm-hmm, and trying to drive revenue and engagement, because that's what it costs money. So if you really want privacy, the truth is you have to stay off the internet. The question you ask yourself, excuse me, can you afford to stay off the internet? Stop deceiving yourself that you're by switching to.
But like, the thing is, we trust Telegram, some people more than others.
Signal,
some people trust Google.
See, this is the truth. Let me tell you something. This is the truth. Even if you switch to Signal, as private as it is, your phone is still listening. Mm. You're using an Android phone, it is listening.
And Android is run by Google.
It's listening.
You use an iPhone, it's run by Apple. Apple is listening.
So just decide whether. Yeah, like for example now, before we started working remotely, right? Mm-hmm. Google asked me, okay, what days do you go to the office? What time do you need to get to the office? Mm-hmm. Google knows what time I have to get to the office every day. Right. So by the time I check my phone in the morning, it tells me, okay, you need to leave in 30 minutes or you'll be late because there's traffic.
Wow.
So the question is, do I want that convenience? Yes, I do.
At what cost?
The price for that convenience is your privacy. So you decide whether or not. If you want to go the old way and be tracking your period with paper and book, do you know that it's less private than your app? Do you know why it's less private? Someone can get the book and see all those things. Meanwhile, your app, at least you still have a fingerprint lock, you still have a pin.
You can use a notepad on your phone. Balance.
Yeah, but that stuff Tim Berners-Lee was talking about, I think it's a bit idealistic, because the very, very idea of the internet is,
of course,
internet, like networks connected together all over the world. So, yeah, exactly. Information everywhere. And well,
should we now look away from the issue of privacy? Like completely disregard
it. So I actually think privacy should be okay. The concerns of national security, that I think that's the only place people should be concerned about. Okay, will terrorists come and get information about the basis for our nuclear facilities, our weapons basis? But everyday life, I don't know if it's just an illusion or a myth, according to Yinka from his story in 2018. So,
it says that we'll put a link to that. It says data privacy is a myth.
Facebook
is a
scapegoat. Right.
Prophet Yinka, that was 2 years ago he wrote that.
Hmm.
So that's just the truth. See, the truth is, if you really, really want privacy that you think you want, and it can be argued, like I said, that even your phone gives you more privacy. So, for example, whether you journal on your phone, if you're journaling in a book, there's a likelihood that people can get to it, unless you have it in a safe.
Mm-hmm.
But you journal on your phone, they need to know your PIN, they need to know. So the question is, who do you trust more? The company that built the app you're using to journal, that syncs it on their server.
Oh,
or
shit.
The people around you that you don't want to know everything.
But this one is
nah,
like,
scary.
Is this not a case of the devil you know and the devil you don't know?
Exactly.
Damned if you do. Damned if you don't.
I mean, see, the truth is, unless you are Edward Snowden or someone that is doing something revolutionist against the government, right? Again, of course, it can be anybody, to be honest, like a lottery. But the truth is, maybe you don't have much to worry about if it is Google that has your journal on their servers,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to you have it in a book and you live in a flat with three people. You don't trust. Maybe. I don't know. So, me, I'm still using WhatsApp. I don't care. I don't. Most of the people I chat with are not on Telegram, so I'm not moving anyway. Most of the people that even moved, you'll be surprised, they will still go back to WhatsApp, or they are still using it. So, I don't know what all the outrage is about.
I don't even know what to feel.
So you'll be following the news. That is why Jan and Brian of WhatsApp left Facebook in 2019 or 18. Like 5 years after they were acquired. They just, Jan waited until his stock in Facebook vested and he cashed it out, billions of dollars.
Mm.
But Brian left like a year or two before he vested. He just took the money, he had like 50 million or whatever. I'm going to start sitting. So anyway, let's move away from all of that. talking about social media, one thing we take for granted now, we're arguing about privacy. Oh, I want to move from WhatsApp. I want to go to Signal. I want to go to Telegram. But if you're in Uganda, you can't even use these things.
Because you can't even do any of
Uganda
that.
Now. Yeah, no, no. Uganda is just crazy. So, yeah.
With the election and...
Yeah, so I think it was January 11th, a few days before the parliamentary and presidential election in Uganda. So I think Facebook shut down the accounts of top Ugandan officials. So I think they said they violated some of their policies and all of that. So then the government of Uganda said, oh, this is tech colonialism, that the oppression of the early 1900s is now on the internet and all of that. But I think it's very, very ironic because a few days later, they themselves shut down the internet, shut down social media platforms.
Yeah.
So,
Ketu calling pot
people
black.
Because of the elections. Campaigning.
They saw that the youth were...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, it was a case of Yoweri Museveni, I hope I got that correctly, and Bobby Wine. So, Yoweri Museveni has been there for, oh my God, how many years has he been there?
35 years. He came in as a military, I think, military ruler before he became a democratic ruler or something.
Wow.
Very, very crazy.
I wasn't even born then. Interesting.
I mean, they said Bobby Wine wasn't born too, if I'm not mistaken. No, Bobby Wine was three or four years old.
At that time.
Yes.
So someone living in Uganda, if you're in primary school then and you're in primary school now, the same answer to the question, who is the president of Uganda, does not change. That is crazy, man.
Yeah.
That is really crazy. And for the government to now shut down social media. This is before, of course, like 2 or 3 years ago, they had the social media tax that has been operating.
Yeah.
Like you pay 20 shillings every month or something before you can use social media. What kind of...
Yeah, they said
Uganda... The thing is, this is the fifth time. This is the fifth time they will be shutting down the internet. And three of those times were because of election. Like whenever it's getting close to election like this, boom, everybody switch off light. Nothing.
So there's
like
a clear pattern there.
Exactly. Yes, the last one that happened was in 2016. And it was, they had to shut down.
So is the internet still down? Emmanuel, is the internet still down in Uganda? Because I see Bobby Wine tweeting. He's probably using a VPN or something.
Yes, he actually tweeted the same day it was going off. He tweeted he's using VPN. Yeah, so this is looking like a trend. Like, no matter what the explanation is for shutting down the internet, it is very tantamount to censorship and cyberbullying at that. Mm.
Yep.
Because yes, when you are depriving people of interaction on social media because of a major national event like that, that the whole world has to be following through user-generated content online, and yes, you are shutting the whole world out of it, then you should have an ulterior motive with
that's a given. That's a given. So right now in Uganda, the internet has been restored. But social media remains banned indefinitely. And I think Uganda is having diplomatic tensions with the US because of the whole social media ban and, of course, the perceived...
The US and their...
has told them that they should mind their business.
Yeah, the whole conversation now is even two-sided, right? Government banning social media on one hand, then social media... blocking accounts of government officials and even President Trump. I think that's another conversation entirely.
Yeah, that is the whole idea of censorship versus moderation.
Yes, there's no line. There's actually not line. No line. We can't draw the line because there are activists fighting for that, and then there is the government saying social media is they are global companies and they cannot come and be running their national issues, dragging their national issues with them. So, and the fact that they are actually operating in their country, they have a level of moderation. Yes, the country has a level of moderation for whatever it is that their citizens are using. So they have that excuse that if this thing is not looking safe for our citizens, then we can moderate it. Then those tech giants are saying people that use our platforms, they have to obey some rules and all. So there's really no line because everybody will be proving a right.
Mm.
So
Yeah, I get you. You're right. I have another question. So if social media is banned for now in Uganda, what happens to the revenue they are losing from the social media tax, the tax that they charge you every day to use social media, which is very ridiculous, but it's the government not worried about losing revenue
from that. So I think it's a small price to pay considering that they are going to keep power for the next 4 years. So they can ban social media while the tension is still high, can just ban it for now. Then later in the year, they bring it back. So it's a small price to pay. Collect social media tax now or lose power or stop it for now and collect more revenue. Next point.
Okay, if you love Africa, pray for Uganda. Pray for Utopia too. Pray for Africa. Start stuff. Let's move away from start stuff. Let's move away from start stuff. Let's talk about good stuff happening. So startups raised, like two startups announced raising this week. There's ULesson, the edutech startup from Nigeria, founded by
the one and only
Konga Diode, the founder Sim Shagaya, the serial entrepreneur who has exited like four. How many companies now? He exited Diode, although Diode has shut down. He exited Konga and he exited Emotion.
Oh, it was at Emotion. Is, wow.
The serial entrepreneur. Yeah, he was in of Emotion before it was sold. Yeah, he left but I don't know if at the time it was sold last year, whether he was still 2 years ago. I don't know if he was still a shareholder in the company. But the company was sold to Tinubu's son two years ago. So yeah.
Nice.
Now he launched ULesson in 2019.
Nice.
An edutech startup that you know. They say they take cater to K7 and K12. That's American parlance. I'm assuming that's GS1 to SS3 students.
Mm-hmm.
They have the curriculum in the app. It's an app, and then there's like a dongle you plug to it. So all the content is in that dongle. So you don't need to be online when you order with the app and the dongle.
And during the pandemic, during the lockdown, they also had a channel on DSTV where
very true. Okay, before I get ahead of myself, the news is that they raised $7.5 million. And please, you'll be living under a rock.
$7.5 million.
They raised $7.5 million. This is their series A. It's coming like 14 months after they had raised $3.1 million. And so far, they've raised over $10 million. But yeah, so this $7.5 million was led by Owl Ventures. Owl Ventures is like a global VC fund. They're like the biggest VC fund for edtech in the world, with over $1.2 billion in assets under their management. Of course, TLCom Capital that invested in the seed round $3.1 million in 2019 also invested here again in this seven. Also took part in this round.
They see prospects.
TLCom Capital is affiliated with Omobola Johnson, former communication minister of Nigeria. She's like the general partner in Nigeria, and so she's on the board, and someone else from TLCom is also on the board, Idosum. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it properly, but now Owl Ventures that led this $7.5 million round also has added someone to the board. That's the managing director of Owl Ventures, Tori Patterson. So they've all joined the board, and I mean, this is very good news because, first of all, it's a very interesting innovation, the fact that they make the curriculum from GS1 to SS3 available for students offline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just plug in the Temgo and you can watch. And they are very, very interactive videos that children can follow with animation and colors and all of that. Not those boring classroom things.
Right.
And they've actually done some insane stuff. So like they claim that they have over 5,000 animated video lessons as well as 30,000 quizzes and tests. Across junior and secondary school. And they did everything in the space of just 1 year. They created all of this in the space of just 1 year. Like, mad numbers.
And
like,
it's not just in Nigeria.
Crazy stuff.
I think ULesson has expanded to as the services in some other West African countries.
They are expanding. First of all, you know, they are using the West African curriculum, WAEC.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, that covers Nigeria, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Gambia.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But now they're also planning, with this $7.5 million that they've raised, they want to now expand to East Africa and South Africa.
So they will have to include...
Okay, so that's the plan.
Probably fresh translations.
Yes. Yes. Mm. Probably. Well, most of the French-speaking African countries are in West Africa. So I'm assuming... I don't want to say what I don't know. Let me not say what I'm not sure of.
Right.
But it's very interesting. What I like is that, you know, ULesson is headquartered in Jos, Plateau State, where Sim Shagaya is from. That's where the tech team is. Although they, I think I saw
there are rumors
or there's news that they moved out to, they've moved to Abuja. I don't know what happened there, because that was actually good news that they were in Jos, which would bring opportunities around there. But anyway, now they are now in Abuja. Of course, they still have their office in Jos and they have the office in Lagos. But I like the fact that it's not really exactly based in Lagos. Like, yes, Lagos is where maybe the business happens.
Mm-hmm.
But when they created all this content, they created it was in Jos.
Yes.
And now they're Abuja based. And they really, I think the COVID was like a blessing. COVID pandemic was like a blessing for them. They really, made a lot of
And it's not just
headway. Gained a lot of traction during that period.
Some rural areas too are using their product.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the people that even need it most anyway, because they don't have internet, but they may not have a television. Interesting, they may not have a television, they may not have cable connection, but they will have a phone where they can watch funny videos that they share among. So you get this kind of dongle across to them, they plug it in, they have everything they need and they are learning. Whether or not their school is teaching them well, they can learn what they need to learn. It's really
schools
good
are not and actually open.
I like to see things like this.
This is huge.
Yeah, schools just opened. Schools just opened this week, I think. Schools just opened this week.
Wow.
So, but for parents who already got this for their children, I'm sure the children are way ahead of their peers.
Okay, so...
And I'm open to see more.
Yeah, the dongle, like that kind of feature, does it give room for interactive learning? If the students have questions, how do they how soon can they get feedback and all of that? Since it's not online.
I've never used the app, so I can't really answer perfectly well. But I know that there are quizzes, and then you get feedback on what you got right, what you got wrong, how to work it out, and all of that. I don't know if you can ask on the fly or on demand questions. And when I check the site, I've not seen, or maybe I've not been patient enough, I've not seen anything that explains that, right? But yeah, it's very interesting.
I'm glad it's coming.
Also shared something on his Medium page, where he talked about you know the fact that you know they're trying to close this gap because Africa lacks a lot of teaching resources, right? But they believe that with what they are doing, they will be able to activate a better learning experience and all of that. So we'll put a link to what he said in Medium. But I think it's very interesting because this is education, which is very important, a very huge pain point
in Africa.
It's a very big pain point for Africa. So it's good to see education startups raising this kind of amount. I don't think we've seen any education edtech startup raise this much. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you know, please, we would like to hear from you. But I don't think I've seen any edtech startup raise as much as $10 million cumulative. So congratulations to Sim Shagaya, and we're hoping to see more of this. Also, a startup based in Ghana. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but it's OZE.
Is it Oze or Oze?
They also
Oze.
It's Oze, right? Or Oze. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. If you are listening from Ghana, please come and
help us out.
Although it doesn't seem like it's a Ghanaian name. Anyway, so it's a fintech startup, and they raised 700,000 seed.
Yes.
What they do is they try to help African SMEs grow. I think that's what they do,
So
they are mostly based in Ghana. They help small businesses in Ghana, parts of sub-Saharan Africa to access capital. So they're like a credit platform for businesses.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't technology to power credit for businesses to lend money, you know, get them capital. So it's very interesting to see things like this. But you know, It's fintech.
Fintech
is like a darling of Africa. So
every time funding. Excited as you were for
No offense to the co-founders. There's Ali. I think only one of the founders seems African. The The others seem to be of European origin, or maybe they are based in Ghana.
Dave, Ghana, Mnet, yeah.
Dave. But they, yeah. But yeah, no offense to them. I'm not saying what they're doing is not great, and it's very important. Of course, they also have the power of the Google Launchpad network behind them. I think they were part of the Launchpad. So, but it's interesting. So I'm hoping that we can see
more.
Of course, they are going to expand, right? They say they have over 5,000 businesses on the platform.
They're planning to expand. So they're planning to expand
to Nigeria and South Africa now. They've been in Ghana all this while. So they want to expand to Nigeria and South Africa next year. Not this year, next year. So yeah, congratulations to them. And we'll be looking forward to when they come to Nigeria and South Africa. Let's move on to
money.
It's still fintech.
It's still money.
Yeah, money. E-transactions in 2020. Hit a record high. Okay. Tell us about
it's
that.
Pretty simple. $415 billion worth of e-transactions in 2020. Wow. That's like a very massive growth from the previous year. So that's
when you say e-transactions, how do you break that down? What does that mean?
Yeah, we're talking about POS. We're talking about interbank transfers. I combine both numbers together. So electronic transactions. So I initially called them cashless transactions, but I realized that, okay, that's, and I think you also pointed it out to me that, okay, that might not be it might not paint the full picture of actual cashless transactions, because a lot of people use POS agents to get cash. People transfer money to others to get cash. So I've done that several times since I came to this place. So but at least electronic transactions and interbank transactions are hitting a record high on cash different levels. And of course, the month of December, we had quite a very, very electronic Christmas. A lot of transactions kept happening. Like I think on December 25th and January 1st, I kept refreshing, and the numbers kept increasing by a few hundreds, a few thousands at 11:59. So a lot of transactions kept happening.
Oh, of course, this is Nigeria. I don't know if I mentioned that from the beginning.
This is Nigeria.
This is from
Nigeria,
right?
From Nigeria Interbank Settlement System. So it's a nice one, and it's encouraging to see that people are embracing e-payment channels. But
it would be nice to know. I know NIBS doesn't track that, and that's why there's a challenge. It would be nice to know how much of that is actually cashless transaction. And I suspect that a bulk of those numbers are people withdrawing cash via POS agents in their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So people that are far from, especially in places outside Lagos or Ife, where you guys are. Oh no, I think Ife has quite a good number of.
I've never used one.
People in rural areas and all of that. I suspect a bulk of that
POS.
It's people withdrawing cash. So I'm not sure it's that much to be happy about. Although it's also good news that the fact that, okay, POS agents are also being empowered, because so many people now, they don't even have any jobs. So that's what they're doing. And they're able to lift their families out of poverty through that. So I guess...
And people don't have to really go to banks.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, banks don't even want you, especially in this period where you should not be crowding banks. So I think the fact that we're on lockdown and the pandemic kind of incentivized more people to use this POS agent. So it would have been nice to know that exact number, but it doesn't seem that, or does NIPS cover, like I say, oh, these numbers are from POS agents. Cover that.
It just shows the number of terminals. But I think, I'll reach out to
the numbers
to
of
some
transactions.
To see how many,
what did you say?
To even see how many merchants accepting payment through POS and all of that, and those that are using it to withdraw cash. I mean, if you go to a typical shop in Lagos, you can buy stuff from them and still collect cash from them at the same time. So it will be very, very difficult to track.
Yeah, a lot of shops still collect cash. Yeah, well, I don't really see. I think we should be more careful, you know, following these numbers going forward, try and give a bit more context around it. And if there's a way, I don't know, but we can't really get NIBS to do what they don't want to do. But I don't think it should be so hard for NIBS to be able to even say, okay, this POS is registered to a POS agent, and identify which ones are which. I don't think it's that much. It would take that much to be able to track all of that. So I don't know why they don't track that. Huh?
Yeah. That,
anyway, still on that money matter, sent this.
Yeah, that reminds me. The CBN released a new framework for QR code payment. So if you use Zenda to send stuff on your phone, you must have seen that barcode you used to connect phones together. So yeah, it's QR payments are becoming a thing. So it's very, very fast. All you just need to scan the code and send money direct to the person you are paying. So that could be another way to boost cashless transactions in Nigeria. But of course.
Okay, when you say CBN introduced a new framework, what does that mean? Because I know, for example, like even though they've not seen large-scale use, platforms like Eyowo already use QR code for payments. And there was a pay with capture and all of that. So when you say CBN is releasing a new framework, is that like
regulating,
finally identifying that channel of payment and regulating it? Is that what it's about?
Yeah, that is it. That is it. They are recognizing the channel of payments and they see the potential to boost innovation and of course boost cashless adoption. So yeah, it's the CBN finally regulating the use of QR payments, just like they regulate the use of other payment channels like the ATM and the rest of them. So yeah, QR.
I don't see it going that far though, because
always in the smartphone. Yeah,
for QR payments, and smartphone penetration is not that great in Nigeria. I can't remember the numbers, but it's not that great. Meanwhile,
Don't forget. I think we discussed it last year. They released a draft for a regulatory sandbox for fintech companies. So it's just for you to come and test. And so I think they finally updated it and finalized the arrangement for the sandbox. So you can check the article to find out more about the sandbox and the provisions. Yeah.
Okay, that's good news. So anybody that is trying to start something in fintech, play around there before they can test out the product without having to spend money. And all of that. That's
good news. I don't think anybody will use it though.
It's good to see things like that. Yeah, but still on the side of regulation, there's one that seems to be like
bad news.
Targeting investment apps that let you buy US stock and Nigerian stock. That before now was very hard for millennials and young people, tech savvy people to do. And now the Nigerian Securities Exchange is trying to regulate that. What's happening?
Okay, so yeah, I think it was December 20th, the Securities and Exchange Commission released a statement and they're saying that Nigeria's Investment and Securities Tribunal has restricted Chaka Technologies. Chaka is one of those platforms we use to buy US stocks and Nigerian stocks. So they said they are restricting...
Even Chinese stocks.
Even Chinese stocks too. So they said they're restricting Chaka from offering securities or trading securities or having securities on their platform because they are not regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. And ironically, they said this is meant to boost innovation in the sector and make sure unscrupulous elements...
How is that supposed to work?
So to make sure unscrupulous elements do not take advantage of this innovation. But what was weird is, like us, I saw that article on my Google feed and I called Chaka CEO Tosin Osibodu and he said he just saw it too, like all of us.
So they didn't even inform them.
They didn't even invite them to
it's
the table.
Very weird. And it was a crazy court order and the person you are restricting was not even there to even know what's going on.
Or defend himself. But you know what is interesting? When they are saying Chaka or is it Trove also, the ones that... It seems they are targeting only the ones that
They're targeting everybody. In fact...
So Bamboo that doesn't have...
The statement they made in the press release was Chaka offers stocks in Amazon, Alibaba, Apple, which are not Nigerian stocks. So I think...
Okay, but this is the question. When they say they want to regulate, they are not regulated. I don't understand. Because, for example, now, Chaka is using CitiSav, a recognized, regulated, and what's the word now? Should I say legally licensed?
Broker.
Platform. Broker, exactly. That's what Chaka is partnered with. And for US stock.
DriveWealth.
I can't remember the exact name of the ones.
DriveWealth Capital.
Yeah, DriveWealth and a couple of other ones. So if those ones are already regulated, and it's just like a piggy bank, for example, that runs savings, right? And they have a microfinance license because at first they were partnered with the microfinance bank that allowed them to operate, and then they acquired the microfinance bank, and now they are good. So why does SEC have to disturb itself when they are already partnering with CitiServe that is recognized and licensed? I don't understand
so
what's going on here.
The thing is, it's a very, very it's a very gray area in the SEC role. So Chaka is saying what they do, they don't offer investment advice and they don't advertise stocks. But SEC is saying what you guys are doing is advertising stocks to Nigerians. So that's okay. And the rule is you can't advertise apart from brokerage, which is what City Investment Capital does. You can't just advertise stocks to Nigerians just like that. I don't know. You rarely see all these stock brokers coming to tell you, oh, come and buy MTN stocks or come and buy GT Bank stocks. You rarely see that because, yeah, there are a lot of gray areas around that. So just to even advertise it to Nigerians alone, you can buy on Alibaba, you can buy this, you can buy that. And of course, you see the ads on different places that, oh, you are showing Nigerians that you are capable of investing in the stock market. Then they said they don't offer indirect advice. I mean, they don't offer investment advice to...
Direct? Yes. They have that disclaimer on the app.
There are a lot of news articles on the app to help inform your decision. So...
Written by the company.
Sometimes they're written by the company, but most times I think they use a feed to auto-generate those news platform, those news updates on those stocks you want to buy. So in a way, the SEC could say that could be investment advice because it's Nigerian law and it has very, very weird interpretations. And of course, you could say they are advertising stocks to Nigerians. So from an investment protection perspective, these guys probably should not even be offering both US or Nigerian or Chinese stocks to Nigerians without regulation.
Crazy stuff. Anyway, I think the major problem here is always regulation chasing innovation. And the truth is, if these guys had waited to first start discussing with the regulators, they may not have been able to launch. So,
yeah, but I think...
I don't know. It's about figuring out...
Tossing of Chaka was actually showing his surprise because he claims that he has a very, very good relationship with the SEC and he does not know where the whole thing is coming from. So it's
Nigerian governments, African governments,
they
always
just,
governments.
They just wake up and get on your matter.
Maybe the person at the head of the affairs or whatever, the head of the department that maybe probably supervises that maybe changed, and the new person has come and there is no, you know how government is in Nigeria,
they don't pass across information.
Yeah, so...
that stuff. Well, we'll be watching.
I think before I forget,
you have to follow this very well because a lot of us have a stock. We have stock.
Before I forget, so last week was supposed to be when they will meet again for a full court decision at the investment tribunal. That was last week, Friday, on the 15th. So I reached out to Chaka, I reached out to SEC. SEC did not reply, of course, but Chaka said they have not received any update yet, which is also weird. Like, you had a meeting to decide someone's fate and the person still... But it's fine. We'll be all right.
Nigerian
we'll
government.
Be all right.
Anyway, so... Wow, it's been quite a long episode today, but it's the first episode of the year, so we have to just... There are so much to update you on. There's even so much more, but we skipped all of that. But we're going to put links to everything we've talked about and even the ones we didn't talk about. So, for example, we have a lot of stories like the one that Nifemi wrote, how tech solutions can help speed up access to COVID vaccines in Africa. We also have tech policies to watch out for. I mean, we've talked about this second one now, for example. Tech policies to watch out for in 2021. So, if you are trying to launch a startup now, you need to check the article to know whether some policies are going to affect you.
What tools you can step on.
We also have Flutter will be still YC's most valuable.
No pay stack.
So YC always every year, YC every year always releases his most valuable startups from his portfolio. And surprise, surprise, Paystack is not there. Paystack that was acquired for $200 million. Because the list includes every startup that is valued above $150 million.
Mm.
And the only African startup on that list is Flutterwave. Last year and this year.
Maybe they have not updated it.
2019 and 2020. And Paystack is not there. Very, very weird. Check that out. We also have fintech predictions for 2021. So if you're playing in fintech or planning to, watch out for that. Of course, crypto. Nigerians traded over $400 million worth of crypto in 2020. Nigerians are going crazy with this thing.
Oof.
And that's why Emmanuel is...
Currency you have Summit, your digital it's coming up. March.
Currency Summit. Do a quick plug-in.
The Digital Currency Summit, if you recall, it was originally scheduled to hold on January 27th, but now it'll be holding on March 25th, 2021. We want you to be able to network and get the best value in a safe environment. I mean, the COVID-19 pandemic is still very much raging out there. And by March, we're hoping things will be a little bit more saner than it is right now. And by March 25th, we'll be hosting the biggest and the brightest mind in crypto, like you must have heard before. And of course, we'll be discussing topics like this crypto regulation, fundraising for crypto, and a whole lot of other marketing topics. And of course, we're going to have a very, very solid speaker lineup. So don't miss out on this. Go to currency.techpoint.africa and grab your tickets now. Of course, there are limited spaces available.
Yep, limited spaces. So we'll put the link also in the episode notes or description, wherever you're listening from, currency.techpoint.africa. We also have some old stories from last year, game-changing tech policies of 2020, the most memorable tech moments of 2020, and then Africa's trade agreement, how it will affect startups. So many things that we did update you with. Because it's been so long. You know, when you've not seen your best friend for a while.
And guys,
so we just gave you a condensed edition of that. So we're going to put the links to every of these. There will be a link where you can see every of these articles and even the ones we talked about.
Read yourself to stupor.
In the episode notes. Yeah. And if you are a very regular listener, our fans, they will know you. You may have noticed that we are recording remotely, actually. So Emmanuel and Ifemi are in Ife. They moved to Ife. If you read our first post of the year where I wrote, we said we're going remote fully. So Emmanuel and Ifemi have decided to move to Ife, where cost of living is
lower,
much better.
And standard
and
be
quality of life is much better than Lagos. I am here in Lagos. But thankfully, even though we're recording remotely, our sound is not that bad.
Glory.
I would have put the link to the gear in the episode notes, but the sad thing is that you won't be able to order it directly to Nigeria. Maybe you will, okay, but I want to make money from it. So we have to put Amazon affiliate links. Maybe we'll do that next time. We'll put links to what we're using, to our setup. Yeah, so it's been a good one, and we're back. So listen every week. Don't forget, every week, every Friday, we release the episode and share. Emmanuel, tell them.
Of course, don't forget, you can get this. Yeah, if you're listening for the first time, you can get this podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and of course, anywhere else you get your podcast. Of course, we're not on SoundCloud anymore. So for new episodes, check out those platforms I just mentioned. And of course, you can go to podcasts.techpoint.africa. And also, don't forget our sister podcast, Built in Africa, where we have the best and the most inspiring stories of startups and founders in Africa. And of course, you can go to builtin.africa to get a lot of amazing episodes. And of course, they're very, very amazing episodes. Yeah.
Thanks for that, Emmanuel. So yeah, don't forget podcast.tech.africa if you don't like apps. But if you like the podcast apps, there's Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, like I said, and Built in Africa too. Also listen and subscribe to both of them. Share, like, drop a review, please. It helps us.
Scatter the like button.
And share. Nifemi, parting words.
Parting word. Everyone stay safe. We have legit entered into the second wave of COVID-19. So, this stay safe.
Yep.
If you must go out, use your face masks, avoid crowded areas, wash your hands, use hand sanitizer, and just stay safe for the sake of yourself and your family.
Thanks for that, Ifemi. Stay safe. And I guess this is what
out.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.